Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 11 to 19. When men strive together one with another, and the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand, and taketh him by the secrets, then thou shalt cut off her hand. Thine eye shall not pity her. Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when thou were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way, and smote thee hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Father, we thank thee for thy word and pray that thou wouldst speak to us now through it by thy Spirit and instruct us in thy ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We hear commonly a phrase the world uses, all is fair in love and war, which, by the way, is not scriptural. And God here in this portion instructs us that this is not scriptural. And he even adds a third category to it, the category of business. All is fair in love and war and business. In our world today, this is another category that is unmentioned but commonly included. And businessmen will say, well, if you are really honest, you won't stay in business. You can't make any money. And since you have to survive, then you have to use some tactics. God here in this portion of Scripture deals with three topics. And in these three topics, he warns Israel that all is not fair in love and business and war. He warns Israel that no matter what the pressures of the circumstances might be, there are some things you just do not do. Just as if you are about to park in a certain parking place, and you see that there's a no parking sign, then you change your mind and you say, oh, I better not park here. But if you are in a very urgent situation, and you just have to get to where you're going quite quickly, you might be tempted to say, well, this will only be for a few moments, and I'm in a hurry. Of course, that justifies a lot of things. And since I'm in a hurry, I will just park here for a few minutes, even though it says no parking. And apparently in one particular location, there were so many people that constantly decided that they were in a hurry and they just had to park there for a few minutes, that the municipality put up a new sign and it said, don't even think about parking here. And so the idea that the pressure of the immediate circumstance justifies what we're doing is nullified. No matter what the pressures, this is not an option. Don't park here. And so here in this portion, God warns Israel regarding these three areas, that when pressures come, these are some things you don't do anyway. First of all, let's notice in verses 11 and 12, we have the area of love. Is all fair in love? Here we have the pressure of the circumstance. And as we look at the situation, we find that this woman desired some way to be able to help her husband. He was getting the worst of the battle. He was being beat up by this other man, and she desired some way of helping. Now, this, by the way, is one of wives' greatest temptations. Whenever the husband isn't doing too well, the temptation of the wife is to find some way to get him off the hook, some way to rescue him, some way to do it for him. And God warns Israel again in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. We read, "A wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman teareth it down by taking matters into her own hands." And so just when she thinks she's going to help her husband, God says, "You don't gain anything by taking over his battles for him." Now, there are proper and appropriate ways in which wives can help their husbands. And wives need to think of creative ways of helping their husbands, just as really all of us need to constantly find creative ways of making others successful. And so there are proper ways in which wives can learn to help their husbands assume their responsibilities of leadership rather than taking those responsibilities away from them. There are ways in which they can pray for their husbands and encourage their husbands to be able to win the battles rather than taking the battle away from him and winning it herself. And so a servant's heart is another aspect that is needed in a wife as well as in all of our hearts. A servant's heart seeking to make others successful. And it's this kind of a servant's heart of looking and finding ways of making her husband successful, of helping him to win the battle rather than winning it for him, that makes the wife then a tremendous blessing to her children, because she then in that way teaches her children how to be creative in making others successful without taking over their jobs for them. So she becomes a model for her children in that way, in teaching them how to have a servant's heart in their relationships. And so the pressure of the circumstances was not meant to have her take over the battle. The pressure of the circumstances was meant for her to learn to pray for her husband and encourage her husband that he might win his own battles. And the consequences here are very serious. God tells Israel, he says, you are to cut her hand off. Now, the Jews, as we check with history, changed this, and they commonly required only that a price be given equivalent to the value of the hand. I don't know what price that would be. It seems to me a hand is really worth a lot. But they would make the penalty smaller in this way. But God warns Israel here. He says, "Thou shalt not pity. Thine eye shall not pity." And he warns Israel not to lessen this very serious consequence. Do not pity her because she has violated a basic command of Scripture. And as the Jews did pity, we have to recognize that this is a temptation that we would have also. In today, we find this happening many times, that we pity those who violate the commands of the Lord rather than executing the judgment that God says. And I suppose actually what we're saying then is that we are more merciful than the Lord is. But actually what we're doing when we pity the offender is we are being cruel to all of the future victims of that person and of others who would commit the same crimes. And so it's basically our overconfidence, I think, in human nature, that we're just sure that basically he or she is just a very nice person and would never do anything like that again. And so we pity the one who violates the command of Scripture, whereas God says, do not pity, because the only way that for sure they will not do it again, and for sure that others then will be properly warned, is to make the consequences sufficiently certain and severe. And so God warns then not to pity. And actually, what we're doing when we pity the one who violates the commands of God, actually we are indicating that we do not feel that the crime is all that bad. We feel that the penalty is more severe than the crime. And you know, this is exactly the same thing that men do when they reject hell. They say, I don't believe a God of love could ever have a place called hell. Well, what they're really saying is that they don't believe that anything they do or anything they see is really all that bad to deserve a place like hell. Because when men are convinced as to the seriousness of a crime, they are much quicker to accept a severe penalty. And so the alleviating of the penalty is an indication that we just don't think that sin is as bad as God says it is. And God says it's bad. And God says it deserves a very severe reprimand. And God says in this portion that when a woman, God says that a woman is actually tearing down her own house when she takes matters into her own hands. That means then that families are destroyed when wives refuse to trust God to strengthen their husbands, and when they refuse to pray for their husbands and encourage their husbands to take on the responsibilities that belong to them, and instead take on the responsibilities themselves. God says this really tears down houses, tears apart homes, and so this is a serious matter. And God warns Israel, he says, thou shalt not pity. All is not fair in love. The motivation there is wrong. Secondly, then, what about business? Verses 13 to 16. Verses 13 to 16, we find, first of all, God tells Israel that he wants them to have proper business dealings. And he mentions very specifically, verse 13, thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights. And you notice in your margin, it says a stone and a stone. Now, the weights that they used in those days were stones. And these weights would be used to balance off the amount of the purchase. And God says to Israel, now you shall not have in your bag of weights, you shall not have a large stone and a small stone. In other words, a large stone for when you're buying, you put that stone on there and you balance it off with a certain amount of wheat, and a small stone when you're selling, say, because it won't take near as much wheat to balance it off. You shall not have a stone and a stone. And he also mentions diverse measures. Thou shalt not have, and you notice in your margin, it says an ephah and an ephah. In other words, you shall not have a small basket for when you're selling, and a large basket for when you're buying. But on the contrary, thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have. And so God warns Israel, says, not to be unjust in their business dealings. And this is mentioned in many other places also. For example, we have it mentioned in Leviticus. Chapter 19, verses 35 and 36, God says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in measure, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin, which would be the liquid measure, shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. God warns Israel, he says, I want you to have accurate measurements, and you use the same measure when you buy and when you sell. And we have also mentioned in Amos chapter 8 and verses 4 to 8, Israel had fallen into sin in this respect. And in Amos chapter 8 and verse 4, Amos says, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. God warns Israel about these kind of business dealings, about buying the poor for silver, being unjust in business dealings. And God says to Israel, I don't want you to do this. And he says to them, for this reason, judgment has come upon your land. I read recently that there's been some movement to gain a new government consumer protection agency. But there was some resistance to that because, well, first of all, to try and protect the public from everything that's going on. But you close one door and three other doors are opened in the meantime. Then the next thing is, who's going to protect us from the protection agency? And so there just wasn't too much enthusiasm, because that really isn't the solution. The solution is the Word of God working in the hearts of people. And so God warns Israel that they are to be very careful about this. The solution then is not a protection agency. The solution, rather, is that we as God's people teach God's Word and live God's Word. The solution is that Christians deal fairly and support those who deal fairly. It's an interesting comment that I read in one of the books I was looking at. This man mentioned, he said, a businessman who is known to be honest should be supported by God's people, even if it means some financial sacrifice. And the dishonest businessman should be avoided, even when it appears to offer a better financial deal. I thought that was very interesting. Because in these days of inflation, we do and we need to watch the prices. Sometimes it's amazing the difference in prices from one establishment to another. But within this entire picture, we need to remember something else. And I'm sure many of us have had problems along this line, that all that glitters is not gold. And sometimes you can have some very fancy advertising, and you get there and it ain't necessarily so. And they will try to sell you something else, and you find that their tactics are not right. And so when we find those kinds of organizations, we need to avoid them. And we need to avoid shopping there anytime. Because if that's their policy, then they are unjust and we ought to put them out of business by not shopping there at all. And on the other hand, when we find a business that is honest and upright and fair, generally speaking, their price will be higher than these low advertised prices of the places that do not fulfill their responsibilities. And so when we find a reputable business, that's not saying that he's going to have to be the highest priced one in town, because he might be unfair from another standpoint, taking too large a piece of profit, more than he really ought to take. But as we look at the situation carefully and see the prices and what is a fair price, not too much and not too little, and find a man who deals fairly, not charging excessively and yet not advertising falsely, then even though we pay a little bit more perhaps than what we might be able to catch now and then from, if we catch the unjust one at a time when we do get a deal from him, even though from the honest one we pay perhaps a little bit more, we ought to support him. because he needs that margin of profit to exist. But the temptation is to run the honest one out of business by flocking to the dishonest one. And God here says to Israel, they need to beware of these kinds of practices. And so, as Christians, we need to be determined not only to not pay more than a fair price, but also to not pay less than a fair price, and deal only with those businesses that have sound biblical standards of righteousness and justice. And in this way, we can help to keep our country from getting into the situation that Israel was, that God complained of to Israel, that they were selling the poor for a piece of silver. Not only does he tell them to have proper dealings, he mentions then the promised rewards. Even though businesses say sometimes that injustice is necessary in order to survive, actually, injustice is the cause of destruction, and Israel was destroyed because of injustice. And God here says in this portion of Scripture, says, those that do this are an abomination unto me. In verse 16, for all that do such things, all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. And as I looked at that, I thought, you know, what they are doing is an abomination. Then I read it again, and I said, no. God doesn't say all those things are an abomination. He says all that do such things are an abomination. God just isn't saying that the Israelite, when he fell into this injustice of having a stone and a stone and an ephah and an ephah, God doesn't say what you are doing is an abomination. God says you are an abomination. I don't think I've ever had anybody just come up to me and say, you are an abomination to me. Fortunately, I don't think I'd like it too well. But that's what God is saying. God is saying, all that do such things are an abomination. And so God is saying then to us, if we fall into this trap of thinking that the pressures of business require that there be some sleight of hand, God then says, you are an abomination to me. On the other hand, God says, if you do it right, your days will be lengthened. Notice he says in verse 15, thou shalt have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, isn't it interesting that the purpose of unjust gain is to provide for my future? That's the motivation behind it. You can't survive if you don't do this. And so to survive, in other words, for my future, to still be in business in the future, I've got to do this. And so I say I have to do this to protect my future. And God says, that's the very thing you're going to ruin. God says, you shall have a just weight and a perfect weight, that thy days may be lengthened on the land which the Lord thy God giveth me. And so God says, if you do that, you don't protect your future. You just assure yourself of not having a future, because your days will not be long. They will be shortened on the land that I will give to you. Then thirdly, God talks about the area of war. All's not fair in war either. And so in verses 17 to 19, God talks about Amalek. Now, Amalek was a case of permanent bitterness. No desire, no intention of ever getting over their bitterness. And as you check through Genesis 36:12, you find that Amalek was one of the sons of Esau. And the Amalekites had war against Israel all their days. And God here reminds Israel of what Amalek did to the Israelites. In Exodus 17:8, they came out against Israel as they were coming out of the land of Egypt. You remember that Israel overcame because Aaron and Hur helped Moses to hold up the rod of God, and as the rod of God was held up over Israel's as they battled, then Israel won the battle. But Amalek didn't give up, and they just kept at the heels of Israel, and any time they could find some of the women or children or weak and infirm off by themselves, they would kill them. Just an indication of constant bitterness, picking on Israel in every way they could, even though they couldn't beat them in battle. They said, well, we can't exterminate them in battle. At least we will find some way of making life miserable for them. And so they would dog Israel's heels and seek to do everything they could to antagonize them. And God says to Israel here, I want you to remember what Amalek did to you, and I want you to execute judgment upon them. God avenges. God sees and remembers and avenges injuries done against His people. We read in James 2:13. God says, He shall have judgment without mercy who showed no mercy. And Amalek showed no mercy to Israel as they were strangers wandering there through the wilderness. And so as a result, God said to Israel, when you get in the land and when you are settled down, you have your battles won roundabout, then I want you to remember what Amalek did. And I want you to go and I want you to blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Sometimes we think that God doesn't see what happens to us as Christians. Sometimes we suffer and are mistreated, and we think that God doesn't see it. But God doesn't always pay all of His bills right at the first of the week. Sometimes, or rather, He doesn't collect all his bills. He pays them. He doesn't always collect right away. Sometimes He lets it set for a while. And so here God said to Israel, I'm in no hurry. When you get in the land, everything's settled and you're stabilized in the land, then you remember. And then you go down and you execute My judgment upon Amalek because of their lack of mercy toward you. Because what they did was not right. All is not fair in war. And what they did was wrong, and they will suffer for it. And so all is not fair in love or business or war. And we notice here then in these three instances that we have also the three basic areas of root causes of problems in our lives. We have bitterness, temporal values, and moral impurity. Amalek was bitter against Israel. The businessmen, wrong temporal values, and the woman had moral impurity. And these three things are behind all of the various kinds of expressions of sin in our lives. And behind all of this is the desire to be our own boss. We find this in Romans 1:21, for example. In Romans chapter 1, we find near the end of the chapter all kinds of moral impurity. You say, where did that come from? And so you just back up in the chapter and go right on back until you get to verse 21, and you find the root motivation of that moral impurity. They knew God, but they did not glorify Him as God. In other words, they knew that God existed, but they had no intention to make Him the boss. They had no intention to let Him run their lives. And so that's the very basis of all the other sins in our lives. We know God's there, but we don't want to let Him be boss. And as a result, then, we'll fall into moral impurity, we'll fall into temporal values, we'll fall into bitterness, and these things just sprout out into all other kinds of sin, things that are displeasing to God. And so Israel here is warned by the Lord of these three root problems of bitterness, temporal values, and moral impurity. Behind these root problems, then, a desire to be the boss of our lives. And so God says to Israel, these might seem to be extenuating circumstances. This woman just has to help her husband. This businessman just has to stay in business. Amalek can't win the battle, so he feels justified in chopping off the weak ones at the back. God says, all is not fair in love and business and war. There are some things that you just don't do. No matter what the pressures that might be upon you, God says, there are some things that just are not right and are not able to be justified by the pressures that are round about us. No matter what the pressures of love, business, or war, God says there are some things you just do not do. Father, we thank you tonight that you have given to us these clear standards in your word, and we recognize that it's so easy for us to justify ourselves and to think that because of extenuating circumstances, I need to do this. Because of my future, I have to do that. Because of the pressures that are upon me, I must do this other thing. Father, we thank you that you have warned us that these pressures are not justifications for doing the things that you command us not to do. So we pray that you would help us to see clearly what are the ways that please you and honor you, and that we might avoid doing the things that would cause you sadness and grief, that we might recognize, Father, that we need to obey your word, and then you will take care of the battle. You will take care of the business. You will take care of our homes if we are just willing to trust you and commit our situation to you and obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen.